1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 12. This passage really makes me think of something. It makes me wonder why I'm not an NFL quarterback. Or what the difference is between me and an NFL quarterback. You know, the paycheck, of course. And maybe the physical fitness that needs to be there for an NFL quarterback. But it really all breaks down into one thing in the end. And that's consistency. The difference between me and an NFL quarterback is that I can't consistently hit a receiver, right, a guy running down the field as fast as he possibly can, with a football. I'd have a hard time hitting my son with a football, let alone a person running full speed and an adult who's trained for that. And so there's an obvious difference there, and the idea is consistency. I can't consistently do that. I might, 1 in 100 shots, be able to get it there. But that would be more luck than anything else. It's just that it happened to work out that time. It's not consistency on my part. And that's the major difference. Ironically enough, that's the major difference between folks not only in the brotherhood, but people in the world and people in the church. Consistency. There are a lot of people in the world who have done various things that are good for the kingdom of God. As we looked at this morning, even in the Old Testament, the people of God in the Old Testament and the nations surrounding them, some of them were involved in things that were good for the kingdom. The Babylonians, for instance, we talked about, took the people of God into captivity. And what we find after the Babylonian captivity is that the people of God didn't have an issue with idolatry anymore. That they learned their lesson. So in a way, the Babylonians had done a good thing. They had done God's will as far as it was God's design that the Babylonians take them captive. Yay, Babylonians! And yet the Babylonians are not saved because they did one good thing. Because what God was anticipating from them and from every other nation was consistency. It's not enough to do one good thing, and that's where people, a lot of people, struggle. That's where a lot of people have the wrong idea about their relationship with God. They think it's a one-time thing. It's they punch their ticket, and they get in for free from then on. And that's not the way it works. God requires consistency. And so here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to pick up here in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12, he says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly, in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And if you've been here in the past few weeks, you've recognized, I've pointed out a number of times, that the Thessalonians were doing the right things. When it came to love, he makes mention. When it comes to being desiring the Word of God, they were good at that. They had done well. And yet Paul still says, continue in that. Keep going with it. Be consistent. And that's his point here. And we're going to break this into three sections. The first, he talks a lot about encouragement here in verses 12 and 13. Let's look back there a second. "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves," he says. So he's talking about consistent encouragement, a desire to be always encouraging. And while we recognize Romans 12 and verse 15, he says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep," there are obvious people who need encouragement. If someone comes in and they're overjoyed that they got a raise or a promotion or they got a new job, or maybe a child comes in and got the honor roll or all A's or made the dean's list or whatever the case might be, there's a time for us to encourage them, an opportunity for us to say, "That is awesome, that's so great, we love that you're doing so well." And the other extreme, obviously, is weeping with those who weep. Someone comes in and their loved one has passed. Someone comes in and they're not doing so well. Struggles are tearing them down. And so you have the upbeat and you have the downtrodden, which are two obvious extremes. And there needs to be a consistency there that we would encourage those people. But that's not who he's talking about here. Here he's talking about the need to consistently encourage those who are consistent. Those who are consistent. There are people in the congregation who work tirelessly, who work all the time to further God's kingdom, who work diligently, and who aren't those individuals always, or don't always have instances where they're really high or they're really low. And so we don't always notice those individuals. We don't always see those people who are leading the charge for God's elect, who are leading the people in various ways, whether it is spiritually or in meetings or whatever the case might be. And he says there is a need to encourage those individuals. There's a need to build them up, to help them do even better than they are normally. So everyone needs encouragement, absolutely. But he says especially those who are leading. If you turn over to Hebrews 13... the Hebrews writer makes mention of, for one reason specifically. In verse 7, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, he says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever," he says there in verse 8. So verse 7, he says, those whose faith follows. And the idea there is that they walk the walk. They don't just talk the walk. They don't just say that they're doing good things. They don't just say that this is who they are. They literally are that. Their faith follows the example that they say, right? The words that come out of their mouths. But especially there in verse 7, who rule over you. And mention would be made to take care of individuals who are in positions like that. Not take care of them like you would need to for widows and orphans, but to encourage them, to uplift them. And if you think about it, it makes sense. The leaders are in charge. They're helping you to grow and prosper. The people who take leadership positions, whether it's a Bible class teacher, whether it's the leader of a specific group or organization of the body of Christ. And they handle a lot of stuff. And they help you do your job, help you get the things done that you need done, so it would make sense to encourage them to help them help you. Everyone inevitably gets help from that. And so there's this need for consistent encouragement. And he says, especially for leaders, those who are consistent, who don't stand out as individuals who absolutely need it, and who necessarily need it, but could absolutely use it. Because being a leader can be daunting, it can be intimidating, it can be difficult at times. And so new teachers, right? Teachers who take up the role, they need encouragement, right? Individuals who start leading, who start doing various things in the congregation, absolutely need encouragement, as well as the downtrodden and the upbeat. Encouragement needs to be one of those things that happens so naturally that it's like our second nature. Or more precisely, it could in fact be our first nature. That would be even better, wouldn't it? And so as Jesus said in writing to his disciples, that the world would know you by how you have love for one another. And that's how folks are going to know who we are. And that's how we're going to build one another up and develop one another in the ways we need to, through consistent encouragement. And that's part of being a consistent Christian. There are a lot of people out there who are part-time Christians, who are maybe not even constitute part-time Christians, or once in their life Christians. And then they never continue and develop in that. He goes on in verse 14, if you notice with me here. In verse 14 he says, "Now we exhort you," so he's doing the same thing. "We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." And the way I run that together is a consistent ministry. Right? There's a practicality in how we handle one another. There needs to be anyway. Sometimes there's not, and that's the problem. There's not a practicality involved in how we handle one another. We don't go to God's Word and understand how God wants us to deal with one another, how God wants us to be there for one another. And Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, probably a well-known passage for most, there is a time for everything. Everything has a season, Solomon says. Everything. There's a time to rejoice and a time to weep. There's a time to sing and there's a time to cry. And there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. And there's a time for everything. And that's what Paul is saying here. There's a time to encourage one another. There's absolutely a time, an appropriate time, to encourage each individual Christian. There are opportunities that we need to be searching for and seeking and seeing. But there's also times, appropriate times, to discipline one another, to encourage to stop doing the things that they're doing, and even admonish them to do the right things. There are opportunities, he says, chances that we have to be examples to one another. He says to warn the unruly. He says comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. And absolutely what these Christians would find is that there are opportunities, as he says there in verse 15, to render good for those who do evil to you. He says there are opportunities even to do that. We might not always take those opportunities. We might not be consistent, especially in that way. But the Lord says, through Paul here, we need to be. We need to be consistently living our lives in such a way that we render good, even if we receive evil. That we uphold the downhearted or the downtrodden. That we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. Romans chapter 12, again, if we turn back there this time, and verse starting in verse 15. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 15 again, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And there, right there, is a very good example of consistency. Now, are you always going to live in peace with all men? He says, no. He says, there are going to be people who take that from you, take that opportunity from you, who don't want to live in peace with you. But he says, as much as is possible, whatever depends on you, put your best effort into living peaceably with others. He says, repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, consistent Christianity says, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, it needs to be mentioned that that is not Paul's intention. His intention is not necessarily to heap coals of fire on his head, because that would be going from an attitude that's not love. Now, I want to hurt this person. I want him to feel guilty. Now, there's a level of, okay, he needs to feel guilty. Because if he starts to feel guilty, maybe he'll change. But even that idea, and that wanting guilt in that way, is from an attitude of love, because you will inevitably want them to be saved. But sometimes we go the wrong way, and we say, man, I hope he feels bad that he's doing this to me. Man, I sure do hope that God takes wrath upon him. That's not very consistent in the attitude God wants from us. And so he says that consistency in our ministry is a level of practicality. And that's the thing that we struggle with most, I think. That when we go to God's Word, it's very practical. And we like sometimes in the Old Testament where things didn't appear as practical as they were. They were just rules. You do this, and you do this, and you do this. And now God says, right, Matthew chapter 23. Or chapter 22, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 22, the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you don't need these rules anymore, you just need one. And practically speaking, what does it mean to do what God wants? To love Him with everything that you are. And it's not hard for us to know that. It's not hard for us to love our neighbor as ourselves and know what that means. Because we know what we would want. We know how we would want to be treated. We know that if we inadvertently or even intentionally hurt someone else, we don't want them coming back on us. So we would like them to be nice to us, even sometimes when we're mean to others. And so he says there's a consistent practicality here, but there's a consistency that needs to exist. There's a design and a desire that we have, that it's not just a one-time occurrence. You can't go back, you know, when you get to the judgment, you don't go back and say, well, this one time, this guy was mean to me, and I didn't smack him in the head. And the Lord's like, you got anything else? I mean, it was just this one time? Well, yeah, it was pretty bad the rest of the time. Oh, well, you know, And you're anticipating, hey, I'm going to heaven because I did this one good thing. I did this one practical ministry. No. Ministry is a very practical thing, but it needs to be a consistent thing. It needs to be part of who we are. Part of who we are. And so he ends here with probably the most important aspect of what we're going to be dealing with today, because it incorporates everything else. It incorporates everything else. Here in verse 16, he says, "Rejoice always." Now, there's a good phrase for consistency. Rejoice always. Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." There is a consistency in our spirituality. We need to be spiritually minded people. And when we are blessed, and when we recognize our blessings, and the more we recognize them, the more we recognize future blessings. But you get people who walk around who don't see what's right in front of their faces. Most nights we have a Bible study with the kids, and we're going through Psalms right now. I think it's Psalm 17. He talks about the individuals who are persecuting him have full bellies from the hidden blessings. And it's not hidden from David. Right? David knows where those blessings come from. They come from God. But the people who are persecuting him, they don't understand where those blessings came from. But they fill their bellies. They're happy with that because God is taking care of them in physical ways. The rain shines on the just and the unjust alike. That God's blessings pour down and people fill themselves with those blessings, but never appreciate where they came from. And so, he says that we should praise God. We should praise always the Lord. And he says, rejoice always. Be happy and glad that these things are transpiring, but especially that we can have a relationship with God. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. That we should always be in communication with God. And it doesn't have to be head bowed and eyes closed, especially when you're driving. Please don't do that. But if you feel the need to pray in a special way, pull over. That's okay. You know, take yourself out of the distraction of driving if you need to. Yeah, but we should always be in communication with God. We can always be walking and talking with the Lord. And we don't have to do it in the traditional fashion that everyone thinks we do. And sometimes that weirds people out. You ever go to the grocery store and you see those people with the little earbuds, but they got hair over it so you can't tell, and they start talking. And you think they're talking to you. And you start talking to them back. You answer their question. And they go, "I'm not talking to you." And you go, "Then you're crazy." What if people started thinking that about us? Because we're talking with God. You don't have an earbud. I don't even have an earbud in my ear. And I'm talking to people. I'm talking to God. And I'm telling Him how much I appreciate, right? Thanking Him for all the things that He's done for me. And thanking Him for the people that are around me. And praying for various people that come to my mind. And for the situations that I'm in. Consistency in being spiritually minded is absolutely essential to these other things. Because when we're thankful and we praise God for the things that we receive, we notice sometimes what other people don't have. Even easier. We can see the hard times they're going through because we appreciate the good times we're in. And we have an easier time encouraging people because we appreciate what they're doing for us. And so this is one of the most important ones, being spiritually minded. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 4 he says, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit," he says, "gives life." And we'll get into that in a second. But I want to go back to the word sufficiency. He says, all sufficiency is from God. That's spiritually mindedness. That we go and we work and we say, "This paycheck I have received for my work and the blood and the tears and the sweat." We always make it really elaborate and really, really dramatic. You worked, 40 hours. That's awesome. That's a good job to take care of your family and do the things that God calls you to do. Absolutely. But, right? Blessings all come from God. James 1. And all, everything, comes from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no varying or shadow of turning. And so we need to realize that. That the sufficiency comes from God, and when we do that, it helps our consistent spirituality. Romans chapter 8, turn over there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Romans excuse me. Verse 13, he says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together," he says. So, if you make an equation, you need two equations here. He says, the flesh, or live your own way, equals death. That's a pretty simple equation. The second is just as simple. You live by the Spirit of God, and you receive life. That's really, really simple. I mean, it's like when people say 4 equals 4. Like sometimes you say things that are completely obvious. That's what he's doing here. He's saying things that are so apparent, so obvious, but we ignore so very often because our consistency isn't there. Because we don't want to be as consistent as God calls us to be. Are we going to always be consistent all the time, every day? No. Romans 3:23 tells us that we're going to fail. We're going to fall short of the glory of God. We're going to shoot for the bullseye. And the word sin, hamartia, means to miss the mark. And it doesn't mean that you miss it the whole bull, you know, the whole target. It means you miss it at all. It just means you miss it at all. So an inch from the bullseye, if you're aiming for the bullseye, is a miss. And it doesn't matter if you miss it by an inch or a mile. You've missed. And so we're going to make mistakes, but the idea of consistency is that we continue trying, that we continue putting forth that effort. And when we do, we walk by the Spirit and we receive life. If we walk by the flesh and we give up on it, even if we've walked by the Spirit for a time, or one time in our lives, or for quite a bit of our lives, we give that up and we walk by the flesh now, we receive death instead. Consistent spirituality, being spiritually minded, means 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And when we do that, we develop our consistency. We develop our spirituality. We have consistent encouragement. We can see the needs of other people and we can try to fill them as far as encouragement goes. We can see the downtrodden and the upbeat, and we can see our leaders and we can see the people who need to be encouraged and we can encourage them. And when we're spiritually minded and we're so appreciative of the things God has given us, we can see the needs of others. And we can minister to them, whether it is discipline, which, frankly, we should like a little less than we do, I think. Or it should be encouragement. It should be picking people up off of the ground. It should be doing those things that are appropriate for the event that's transpiring. And if you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, the last passage we'll deal with this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, I should stop promising things like that. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, he says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly and to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That passage is all about consistency. He says you start with faith, and to faith you add virtue, the desire to do the right thing. First thing you start with is, I believe in God, and you've got virtue. I want to do the right thing. I want to do what God wants. You don't know what that is yet, so you have to add to faith and virtue knowledge. And then you know the right thing to do, and so you can start doing it. And then you need perseverance. You need to keep doing it. You need to keep doing it. You need to keep doing it. And persistence. And then self-control. And on these things that get added to is a level of consistency. And a level of our consistent Christianity. Maybe you're at faith. Maybe you've decided this day that you believe in God, that you know that God is there, and that He wants to be served by you. He wants you to love Him like He loves you. And you want to love Him the way He loves you. And you don't know exactly what to do yet. So you have that virtue. You want to do it, but you don't know what yet. Well, you can add to that knowledge, and we can help you with that. We can help you in your consistent Christianity develop into the person God wants you to be, all the way through unto love. And you know what? We can help you in every stage, whatever stage you're in. If you desire, if your determination is to do God's will, we can help you. And we're going to be there for you, whatever your need. And I pray, friends, if you this day want to change your lot in life, if you want help from this body of believers, of people who support God's kingdom and want to do His will in everything, I pray that you would come as we stand and as we sing.